Blog Talk Radio.
We want to be diligent to this thing.
and you know, faithful to it. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And then we are going to jump into this thing. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. You are wonderful, and you are kind, and you are marvelous. And you are my Elohim, Yah Elohim. You are my Elohim. And I just wish to serve you, Father. Just wish to serve you. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins. We forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would return from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us, and that we are repenting from our sins and we're turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, but our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we ask and we pray for Israel that is awake, that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and the humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. And if they sin against thee, they being Israel, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we are going to sound the shofar. Thank you.
bow. You are the voice. We are your song. You are God. We are your people. You are the light. We stand in awe.
Oh, Strong time makes me sick.
All right. Amen. 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 We are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. And we're starting in verse 1. Leviticus, chapter 25, and verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yah. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and in 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year you shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for Yah. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servants, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servants, and for the stranger that sojourns with thee, and for the cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land shall be the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 15th year, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall be the 50th year. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. So let's stop here for a minute and review. Now, the Most High has already told us when we first go into the land, the first 3 years, we can't eat from what we plant. And then the 4th year is dedicated to Him, and then the 5th year, we can eat. And then every 6 years after that, we can actually reap from the land. But in the 7th year, we have to give the land a rest, a Sabbath. That whole year, we don't plant, we don't sow, we don't reap from the harvest. That whatever grows up, we let it grow up, and we let the land take a rest. So verse 4 says, "It shall be the 7th year shall be a Sabbath rest unto the land, a Sabbath for Yah. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own according to thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servants and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourns with thee, and for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land. Shall all the increase thereof be meat, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years." So we go from allowing the land to rest every 7th year. It's a Sabbath, just like our Sabbath day. And then we number 49 Sabbaths, 49 years of those 7 years. And in the 50th year, it's a jubilee, okay? So thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to be sounded in the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Now what this means is that anybody that owes you money, You know, you can loan money to your brother, but you can't charge them interest. And if you loan money to them and they still owe you in the year of Jubilee, you have to forgive that debt. And if somebody has sold themselves into bondage to you to become a bond maiden or a bond servant, then in the Jubilee they were to go free, except for the females. We have to make sure of that. But they were to go back to their possession. Okay? If they sold their land to you in the Jubilee, you had to give it back. So this is what he's talking about. So if we think about this, then you could never lose your inheritance. Whatever was promised to you was in your family forever. Okay? And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his family. And a jubilee, that 50th year, be unto, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, in, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. So really, if you think about this, if every seventh Sabbath, if every seventh year, you were supposed to let the land rest, in the Jubilee, you actually had to let the land rest 2 years. Because that seventh year, the seventh year would be a Sabbath, and then the Jubilee would be a Sabbath. And so you weren't going to sow in the land for 2 years. Nor to gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, and it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat of the increase thereof out of the land. So whatever, you know, the Most High is blessing the land, he said you're going to eat of the increase of the land, but you're going to let the land rest. So he would have blessed us abundantly the years before. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. Let's see. Let's go back to 12. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price thereof. For according to the number of years of the fruits, doth he sell unto thee. So, after the year of the Jubilee, that first year, if you sell something to your neighbor, then you're supposed to charge him for 50 years worth. Okay? And he's to be paying you for that time. And then each year that goes by, you're to decrease the price based upon the number of years that are left. And you shall not therefore oppress one another, but you shall fear Yah your Elohim, for I am Yah your Elohim. Wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land safe in safety. So the Most High is basically just telling us, hey, I've made the judgments and the commandments concerning how you're going to run your debt. And if you sell to your brother in the first year, then you charge him for 50 years worth of usage. And, you know, you can, how he pays you, that's going to be, if he pays every year, that's going to be how you do it, okay? If you sell him your land, then you're selling him your land for 50 years, if you did it the first year. But every year that goes by, that your land is in your possession and you don't sell it to anyone, then if you do sell it, then they have to give it back to you when? In the Jubilee. So the price goes down because it's less years that they're going to have it. Okay? Verse 19. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, we shall eat the seventh year, behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Why 3 years? And you shall sow the eighth year and eat of the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come, you shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. In all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption of the land. So it's like when you are selling your land to your brother or your sister, it is not theirs to keep. It's not even your land to keep. Let's read him what he said again there. The land shall not be sold forever. You can't sell it to somebody of another nation. For the land is mine. It's not yours. And you are strangers and sojourners with me. So the Most High gives us a possession. You can actually sell it to your brother. And if you sell it to him, you sell it to him for however many years are in the Jubilee. But you can't sell it to strangers. And we can't sell it outside of Israel. In all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. See, when we first read that, it sounds like you can't sell the land at all. And what he's saying is he didn't want it sold off to strangers. So that you sell the possession out from Israel. But if your brother gets poor and he sells off part of his possession, then he can redeem it. Okay? And if he can't redeem it, when the year of Jubilee comes, they got to go back to him. And if the man have none to redeem it, and he himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him has bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee he shall go out and shall return unto his possession. So, you know, we can never lose our possession. Now, you might be 40 years old and you do this. You may not see your land again yourself. If, let's say, you sold your land in the third year after the Jubilee, the last Jubilee, so there's 47 years left. You're 40. If you don't reach 100 or 97, you won't see that land again. But your family can come and get it back. They can get it back before then. They can redeem the land. Or they can wait until the Jubilee and it comes back to the family anyway. Now, let's go back to verse 27. Then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore over plus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. When he says over plus, typically the Most High's interest rate is about 20%. So if I sold you my land and I wanted to redeem it, then I need to pay you over what you sold it to me for, okay, minus the number of years you've had it. But I need to pay you more so that I can redeem it. He's not supposed to charge you interest, but you're supposed to, on your own, pay more for it. Listen, keep reading. So let's go to verse Leviticus 25 and verse 28. Leviticus 25 and verse 28. Let's read this again. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. within a full year he may redeem it. And if he be not, and if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. So if you have a house in the country, part of your possession, you get that back in the Jubilee. But if it's in the city, you don't get it back. It remains whoever bought it. But the house of the villages, which have no walls around about them, shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. So you got, you know, it's just like you got a house out in the country. You sell it, or you're really renting it out for all practical purposes. But that person, and it was different during those times. If they were renting it, you got the money for it. You couldn't just kick them out. And if you could redeem it up to a year, and then if you couldn't redeem it, then it remained that person's until the Jubilee. And in the Jubilee, they had to give it back to you. If your house was out in the country, then you could redeem it and get it back in the Jubilee. But if your house was in the city and you sold it, you couldn't get it back. And it didn't come, you could redeem it within a year, but if you couldn't redeem it within that year, then it became that person's forever. And you lost that house. But if your house was out in the country and it didn't have, you know, a wall around it like in the city, then the Most High says that that house could be redeemed and you could get it back in the Jubilee. Okay. Verse 32, Leviticus 25, verse 32. Notwithstanding the city of the Levites and the houses of the city of their possession, may the Levites redeem at any time. If a man, so the way this worked is the Levites weren't supposed to own land, but they were supposed to be given a possession in each tribe where they would stay at. And that which they were given, if they sold it, then it says that they can redeem it, the Levite can redeem it, what, at any time. And if a man purchased of the Levites, then the house was sold, and the city of his possession, wherever the city that Levite was living in, because they would live amongst the tribes, shall go out in the year of Jubilee, for the houses of the city of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. So the Most High gives the Levites the tithe, and then he also told the cities, that each tribe, to provide living quarters for the Levites, and it belonged to the Levites as their possession. So let's read that again. And if a man purchased of the Levites, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee. It shall go back to that Levite in the year of Jubilee. For the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburb of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. And if the brother, so what he's really saying here is Levite has a house in a city, and the Levites were supposed to live in the cities amongst their brethren. And that house that was given to that Levite was his perpetually. Whereas if it was your house and you sold it and you couldn't redeem it in a year, that house was gone. You couldn't redeem it. It wouldn't come back to you in the Jubilee. But if it was a Levite, it was the opposite. If it was in the city, they could still redeem it, and it would still come back to them in the year of Jubilee. If a Levite was given land out in the country by the people of the city, then that land could never be sold by that Levite. So let's read that again. Verse 34, but the field of the suburbs, that's outside the cities, of their cities may not be sold, for it is their Levites' perpetual possession. And if the brother be waxen poor and fall into decay, with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, thou, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. So if we have a brother or a sister who, you know, they have fallen on hard times and they have become poor and fall in decay, that means that, you know, they're not able to maintain a house, they're not able to really maintain themselves, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, thou, though he be a stranger, he may not even be your family, or a visitor, a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Believe him. Give him a place to stay. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy Elohim, that thy brother may live with thee. So this person has fallen on hard times. You take them in. He says, don't charge them usury. And don't increase. So if you're charging them rent, then don't charge them, you know, a fee on top of that. That's usury. And then don't increase the rent. So if you say, hey, you can afford 2 bits a month, or you can work it off, you know, you're not supposed to make it a burden on them. You're supposed to be helping them. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. So when he says right here in verse 37, thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, meaning that I'm going to loan you $100 at 10% interest. Can't do that. Nor lend him thy victuals, food, for, like doing the same thing. Hey, I'm going to give you a loaf of bread. You got to give me a loaf. You got to give me a loaf and a half back. Can't do that to our brothers. He says, even if he's a stranger, can't do that. If we are talking about, you know, one, the people in our land, our own people, those who sojourn with us and want to be with us, we got to treat them as one born in the land. So we can't do this to anybody that is not, quote unquote, a stranger, meaning that they're not part of the people. Okay. So we're supposed to have love one for another, and we're not supposed to take advantage of each other, but we're supposed to help. I am Yah, your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your Elohim. If thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. So let's look at this, because, you know, we don't really deal this way today. But what he's saying is simply this. You have somebody who the only thing that they have to give you is their labor. And so they're selling them. They are poor and they need a place to stay. They need help, but they don't, you know, they want to work for their keep. And so in these days, they would sell themselves into bondage. Okay? He says, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. So you're not going to treat him like a slave. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to hire you. I'm going to give you a place to stay. And these are your chores. Okay, but you're not going to treat him like a slave and make him do things that you would do to a slave. But as a hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with you and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. So he sold himself unto you. He's poor. He probably can't even afford to pay off his debt. And depends upon how many years are left to the Jubilee. So let's do a scenario. It is year 25 years to the Jubilee. This person comes into your service. You say, you're not going to treat him like a slave, like a bond servant. You're going to treat him like a hired hand, a hired servant, or a sojourner, somebody who's visiting. And you're going to say, okay, you can do these chores that for your keep. And you can live in this room, okay? And you eat your meals with us, things like that, okay? But you're not going to treat him like a what, slave. And then he shall be your servant, your hired servant, until the year of Jubilee. So that means that he would have to serve you 25 years. But at the end of 25 years, he will go out free. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return. Because remember, he's your brother. He's got a possession in the land. He has land. And if he's got children, and he comes with a wife, both he and his children with him shall return unto his own family. If he had a wife, she would also go with him too. Unto possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor. That means, you know, being strict and give, you know, being rigorous, like, hey, I need you to move these boulders from over here to over there. I need you and I don't care how long it takes you, just get it done today. So you're not going to rule over him like that. But thou shalt fear thy Elohim. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaidens, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. Now, I asked a question a while back, because, you know, and we were talking about this thing about slavery and why the nations treated us the way that they treated us. So when we read these, because the Most High said, if he's your brother, if he wants to be part of Israel, whether he's a stranger or whether he's not one of your family, but he's a Hebrew Israelite, the stranger means that he don't have to be a Hebrew Israelite. The sojourner means he doesn't have to be a Hebrew Israelite, but he wants to be part of the nation. Then you can't treat him like a slave. But if he was one of the nations and he didn't actually want to be part of Israel, but somehow he came into slavery, then let's read this. Verse 44, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land. They shall be your possession, and you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you. So these were passed down in the family to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. So he said, of the heathens, those that were not of Israel, that you would take them, their men and their women, to be bond maids and bond servants. But this was different. They were to be your possession, not like a hired hand. Not like a hireling, not like a sojourner. And you shall take as an inheritance for your children, and you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever, but over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother which dwelleth by him wax poor, becomes poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or the sojourner by thee to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of your brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh near kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Now, so if one of your Hebrew brothers sold himself to a stranger, somebody that got rich in the land, a sojourner or a stranger, then you could redeem him. But he says if you bought a slave, a bond servant or a bond maid from the heathen, the Gentiles, they were never to be free. So with that being said, could you understand why the Gentiles wanted to keep us in perpetual slavery? Why they wanted to get us and not let us go in 7 years? Why they wanted to keep us as perpetual bond servants? They read the scripture just like we just read it. They knew who we were. But see, the Most High says that we couldn't be their slaves forever. But they want to make us their slaves forever. Why? Because they, according to the scripture, were supposed to be our slaves forever and pass from generation to generation. So now you can see why some things are and were the way that they were. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant, shall he be with you. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but a few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him according unto his years, and shall give him again the price of his redemption. As a yearly hired servant, and that's what I thought it was, a year, you know, every year, that's how he would pay. As a yearly hired servant shall he be with you, shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. So the stranger couldn't rule your brother with rigor. We got put into a situation where the Most High says, you know what? Because you were stiff-necked and hard-headed, will send you into a land where you can't even protect your own brother. If you were in your own land and your brother got sold to a stranger, that stranger couldn't work him like a slave and not in front of you. Okay? And you couldn't work your brother like a slave. Let's read that again, verse 53. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him. Your brother who is in service to this Gentile shall be like a hired servant unto him for what? As a yearly hired servant. And the other shall not rule with rigor over him in your sight. So you can't let him treat your brother like a slave. Now we got sent into a land where that choice was taken from us. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. So he's serving this Gentile, this heathen master. The master is not supposed to treat him like a slave, his owner, supposed to treat him like a hired servant, like, you know, somebody that comes to work every day and he's paying him a wage. And in the year of Jubilee, If he can't redeem himself before the year of Jubilee, in the year of Jubilee, he also goes free from this Gentile owner. So let's read that again. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. We're servants unto the Most High. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. So he says, you know, it's really against the statute, laws, and commandments for us to be a slave to anybody else. But because we were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and we got kicked out of the land where we controlled everything, we got put into a situation where the Gentiles say, uh-huh, mm-hmm, we see you, and we're going to enslave you perpetually. just like the Most High said for you to do to us. And so this decision got taken out of our hands. And the Gentile nations were, you know, as far as I can see, they were trying to get revenge. But they got to also realize who said to do it this way. The Most High said to do it this way. The Most High said that his servants, the children of Israel, were not to be servants to other men. Were not to be slaves to other men. And that if they, you know, sold themselves for debt or whatever, they weren't to be treated like slaves. They were to be treated like a hired hand. And in the Jubilee, if they couldn't redeem themselves, in the year of the Jubilee, they were to go out free, they and their children. Okay? So when we bring that into the modern times and when we bring it into onto the other nations, then don't think that they never read this, and don't think that they didn't know what the standard was. Want to know why they treated us the way that they treated us? Now you know. But you know, the Most High said, we belong to him. So all those nations that did that to us, it's not going to fare well for them. It's not going to fare well for them. So, you know, they have to understand that, because he told them, all that took us as slaves, they're going to have to become slaves. Now, that's the word of the Most High. That is his judgment in this matter. Because they knew that we were the servants of the Most High, and that we were only supposed to be his servants. So they were in disobedience to the Most High. Let's continue. So, you know, it's important that we understand these things. Will these things go into the New Testament? I have to say that they will. Because the Most High said that all those nations that took us as slaves, that they themselves would have to go into slavery, that they would be our bond servants. I think that's Isaiah chapter 9. Let me look at that real quick. Maybe it's Isaiah 14. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. The book of Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll come back to this, to the next chapter. Leviticus chapter 26, I believe. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 1. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob, and will let and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and handmaidens. For they shall take them captive, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yah will give thee the rest of thy will give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how has the oppressor ceased and the golden city ceased? And Yah has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at the coming, at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And all they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. So this is speaking of the Prince of Tyre, but he's telling you in the first verses of this that anybody who possesses Israel, even when Nebuchadnezzar and any of those other kings possessed Israel, as soon as they became puffed up, the Most High delivered Israel out of their hands, and they became possessions of Israel. It's the same way for those nations in the last days. All those nations that possessed Israel as a possession have to become a possession. And so we just have to know and understand that. You don't get to do to the Most High or his possession as you will. And so the Most High said that they, those that oppressed us, will become our handmaidens and our bond servants, whose captives we were. So they had to have an understanding of abusing the people of the Most High. Even though we might have been stiff-necked or hard-hearted with him, he told the nations they weren't to just do with us what they wanted to do with us. So when they tried to put us into perpetual slavery, then what they did was brought that same punishment on themselves. And this is what the way it's going to be for a while in the kingdom. I don't know how long it'll last, but they shall be possessions. That is the word of the Most High. Okay, so he never intended for Israel to be the servants of other nations. And even when he cast us out and sent us into slavery, they, knowing who we are, should not have done anything to us. They should have had respect of the Most High and said, well, yeah, you're the people of the Most High, and we can't do to you just anything. He says, we can't have you as a servant. So come on into the land and you can work work a job. He's kicked you out of your land. You can work a job and, you know, you can make a living. And you can work for me as a hireling and I won't treat you like a slave. That means that if you don't show up for work, I'm not going to pull out the whip and whip your back. If you don't work 12 hours a day, I'm not going to pull out the whip and whip your back. If you talk back to me, I'm not going to hit you in the mouth and tell you shut up. I'm not going to treat you like a slave. This is what the nations were supposed to not do to us, and they did it. So the Most High said that we are his servants. We are his servants. And we weren't to be the servants of anyone else. Okay. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. And that's why I told us, you know, on the other day when we were... when we were talking about, you know, I told you guys to look up and see what was the difference in the bondage for the Gentile versus Israel. The Gentile was supposed to serve forever as a possession. That was the difference. Okay, Leviticus chapter 26. You shall make you no idols, nor graven images, neither rear up a standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land. In your land, to bow down unto it. For I am Yah your Elohim. Now, statutes and things like that, we're not supposed to have those. Where they got these statutes of all these men around and all that stuff, we're not supposed to have that. Not in our land. Okay. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yah. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. If we obey, he's saying, hey, everything's going to work out to your good. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So the Most High is saying, I'm going to bless you in everything. Ain't nobody going to come to attack you. You're going to go on the attack. And when you go on the attack, five of you will chase how many? Five of you will chase 100. And if there's 100 of you, you'll chase 10,000. I'm going to be going before you and fighting. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store and bring forth old because of the new. So he's saying that your old store is what you already harvested from last year or the year before. It's going to stay good. You're going to eat the old store and replace it with the what? New. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. I am Yah your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. So, you know, when you're in bondage and you're up under hard labor, you know, your back is bent over. You're bent over in labor all the time. You're bent over in labor in submission. You're bent over in submission. So that will make you go upright. You should not be their bondman. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague. I think it's a plague. Let me look that up. What verse is that? Verse 16. That's inflammation, febrile disease, burning ache, a fever. So I'm going to put a fever on you. Now, fevers can kill. And, you know, if they get out of control, overheat the body and kill you. That shall consume your eyes. So you're going to have a fever that it gets hot enough that it makes you blind and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And it will be, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make you your heaven iron and your earth brass. So I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna put you in a cage. And your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. So you planting, somebody else gonna eat whatever comes up. And then, you know, your fruit trees, they just ain't going to give no fruit to you. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven more plagues upon you according to your sins. So let us be clear with this. The Most High is saying, I will bless you abundantly if you obey my voice. And if you don't obey my voice, I'm going to curse you seven times, seven times. Everything you put your hand to, whatever you plant ain't going to grow. Whatever you know, you plant, somebody else going to eat it. I'm going to give you fevers. I'm going to give you plagues. I'm going to do all this stuff to you. So why is it that, our people can't see the reason that we're suffering, the things that we're suffering, is because we're still up under those plagues, up under those curses. Why is it that we can't get up? Because we broke the covenant. And if you walk, verse 21, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. So the first time is seven times. If we don't, you know, we get disobedient. And then if we don't repent, he says, I'm going to punish you seven more times. And then if we don't learn and don't repent, I'm going to punish you yet again seven more times. And I will bring a sword upon you that will avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. So if we're out in the country, he brings up, you know, somebody to kill you. If you're in the city thinking that you're being protected, he says, I'm going to send disease. I'm going to send plagues and disease to get you. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you bread again by weight. And you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not, for all this, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. Now I'm going to get angry. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. Now you got to be, you know, we have to be totally just stubborn. We're just going to not do what the Most High say to do. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor or hate you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savior of your sweet odors. So you, even if you bring in a, you know, one of us is bringing a free will offering to the Most High. We've been faithful. He said, I'm not trying to smell nothing from none of you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will smell you, and I will not smell the savior of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies will dwell therein, which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. And as long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. So that's why I say, when we buy this land, that we have to do it in accordance with the word of the Most High. We have to obey his voice. First 3 years, plant, turn it under. Fourth year, dedicate it to the Most High. Fifth year, we eat. Every 6 years, we reap off of it for 6 years after that. And in the seventh, we let the land rest. Most High says we should be, if he's blessing the land, then it should be able to produce enough food to last for 2 years. Just like when he gave us manna on the sixth day, enough for 2 days. He says, in the seventh year, you're going to let the land rest, and I'm going to bless you in the sixth year to give you enough to survive the seventh year. So you eat in the sixth year, and it's also going to be enough to take you over the seventh year. Then you eat of the land again the eighth year. Okay? And then in the 50th year, you're also going to not eat of the land. So he has to give to us for 3 years. That's why he said for 3 years. You got to give it to you for the 49th and the 50th. And then in the 51st year, you would be eating again. Okay? So he's going to bless the land and bless the abundance that you get so that we can do that. But if we don't do those things, then how many times has he said that he would curse us? Seven times, seven times, seven times, seven times. To the point that he says, you know, I'm just done with you. I'm kicking you out the land. The land's going to be desolate. It's going to be desolate. When he says by desolate, don't mean that nobody ain't living in the land. You ain't living in the land. I ain't living in the land. It's desolate of us. Okay. Verse 35. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. Verse 36. So we have to honor and do it just like you said, do it. Let the land rest the seventh year. Let it rest in the 50th year. Every seventh year, and then every 50th year, let it rest. Have to obey him in it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness in their hearts and in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. So you hear the leaves on the tree rattle, we get scared. And a lot of us are that way. And they shall fall when none pursueth. And you shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And that's why we have no power. That's why, you know, the police can do with us what they do. That's why the Gentile nations do with us what they do, because this is decreed by the Most High. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemy's land. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. That's why you hear me in my prayers every Shabbat, or whenever we meet. And I say the prayer that I wrote concerning us as a people, that he hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, okay, for they are all gone by the way of their grave, because we are supposed to listen to what he's about to say. And if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, that also they have walked contrary unto me. So you hear this in my prayer, because I realize the Most High, he told us what to do. That we have walked contrary to him, and that he has walked contrary to us. And that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. That's why I say we won't complain about the punishment. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac. And also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. So as part of that prayer, you know, I say, do not hold the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, laws, and commandments in spirit and in truth, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. Because he tells us exactly what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be praying for. So we have to acknowledge that we are the only people that have to acknowledge the sins of our forefathers, that they sinned against the Most High. And then we have to acknowledge that we have been contrary to him and he has been contrary to us. And we can't complain about the punishment that he's placed upon us. Okay, let's read that part again. And that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if they in their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they accept the punishment of their iniquity. See, many of us complain about the punishment. And we complain about what we're going through. But the Most High said to accept the punishment. Because the punishment is brought about by what? Our iniquity. I was in a conversation earlier before this lesson. And the brother said, you know, I tried to show him that we are going through these things because of our iniquity. And, you know, we have to confess that. And he says, well, what about like Harriet Tubman and all these other individuals? And I said, what about them? He says, well, so you don't think that the Most High sees them as being righteous? I said, no. Because they're supposed to accept of the punishment. It's just like your parents tell you to go to your room, and you got one of the kids say, hey, we can all come out. Let's sneak out and go over here. Let's go do that. We were sent into slavery as a punishment for a reason, because of what? Our iniquity. And so the Most High says, accept the punishment. We want to fight against the punishment. And we want to, you know, celebrate those who fought against the punishment. When the Most High said, accept it. Understand and realize that you've done wrong. Do your time. Confess the iniquities of your forefathers. And when you can do that, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. And the land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lies desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yah their Elohim. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors. So you see why I'm doing what I'm doing? I'm reading the word of the Most High, and I'm looking to what he's saying that we have to do as a people. And he says we have to accept of the punishment. We have to not complain about it. He says that I will not cast them away altogether. He won't cast us away altogether. And I won't abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am Yah, their Elohim. When we come back to do right before the Most High, then he says, I haven't altogether thrown you away. But you got to do what I said to do. But I will, for their sakes, remember my covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their Elohim. I am Yah. So it's part of my prayer. It's part of why I teach the things that I teach, the way that I teach them. Because we have to do what he said to do. He's telling us exactly what to do. And our people, I'm going to be honest with you, they don't want to hear this. The vast majority don't want to hear it. The vast majority, as I say, got a problem even hearing the law. And if they hear something that is contrary to their belief, even though they can read it in the Word, they're doing exactly what he says. They're doing exactly what he says not to do. They are contrary to his word. They let their personal feelings get in the way of their salvation. So the Most High tells us, doesn't matter where we're at. Verse 44 again. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, to break my covenant with them. For I am Yah their Elohim, but I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors. I want the Most High to return to us. As we return to him, and as we obey his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, as we don't complain about the punishment, but we accept it. That's why I say, and our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. I'm not praying amiss. I'm not just praying for the reason just to pray. I'm not saying words just to say them. But they are based upon the scripture. They are based upon the word of Yah and these verses in particular. So that we can be redeemed. So that he will take us back. So that he will be with us. So that he will bless us. So that everything that we put our hands to, we will have favor. That he will go before us. That our enemies won't come at us. But that we will go after them and we will take more territory. We just got to believe it. Believe that we are the people and believe what he has written here and do it. And do it. Let's see, what time we got? 38. Verse 46, these are the statutes and judgments. These are the statutes and judgments and law which Yah made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. So he says, hey, if you don't do it, these things are going to happen. And we got to the point to where we reached the third, fourth, or fifth curses. Our people. But he tells us how to come out of it. Confess the sins of our forefathers. Don't complain about the punishment, but accept it. Don't fight against it. I'm chastising you. Don't you fight it. And accept of it. Because then if you do that, then I will remember the covenant that I have with you. And I will remember the covenant that I have with your ancestors. And I will be your Elohim, and you will be my people. So understand that when I'm praying that prayer, I pray you can see it in the scriptures now, that you know exactly where it's coming from, and with everything in me, I am trying to have the Most High to hear those prayers and to understand that as far as I go in the kingdom, Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, we are not going to complain about the punishment. We're going to accept it. Our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim, not complaining about it. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. And I pray that you join me in those prayers, that you agree. Because Yah has said, this is what you need to do. So just trying to be that faithful servant. And so you know, from even before we started as this ministry, this prayer, this has always been my prayer concerning us as a people, every Shabbat. So it's not something that I just learned. It's something that the Most High showed me a while back. Actually, when I first came into this walk, and I understood and I wanted to be obedient to what he is saying. You know, there's one thing about the Most High. He will chastise you and then he will tell you what you need to do to make it right. And so we have been endeavoring to do that. And as we go through the covenant, you know, I am still even more convinced that we are on the right track. And I know that when we put our hands to do the land, the Most High is going to bless it because we're going to do it the way that he said. We're going to keep his covenant. We're going to keep his Sabbath. We're going to do it the way that he said do it. We're not going to do it the way that we want to do it. We're not going to do it the way some brothers might think, oh, it's better to do it this way. No. We already got our marching orders. We already got our instruction. I'm not going to go against the word of the Most High. So I trust that you see and understand that I'm trying to be pleasing to the Most High, trying to do everything that he's said that we must do. And I'm expecting that he's going to be with us because he said he will. I believe him. I need for you to believe as well. Because you can see it right here in the scriptures and you know what the motivation is. So we're going to stop here today in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 46. We just did the end of it. You know, and the Most High has told us as far as relationships, one to another, how we are to treat each other, how we are his servants, and we're not to be the servants of any other men. And when those people made us their servants, they actually broke his commandment. But he also said that they would be our servants as a possession. We are his priesthood. He has put us above all other nations. When we are obedient, And I'm not afraid to teach what thus saith Yah Elohim. So any Gentiles that hear, I'm not going to run away from what the Most High said. I'm not looking for a slave. I'm not looking for a bondmaiden or a bondservant. But the Most High said, because they took us as that, they would become that. That's his word. That's his judgment. Why would I go against that? When he made us theirs, why would I go against that? He said, I made you their bondservants. Don't complain about the punishment, but accept it. So when he reverses the roles, when we turn back to him with our whole heart, we believe him, we keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, he said, then I'm going to remember the covenant I have with you. I need you to believe with me. I need you to believe along with me that we be of one mind. So the Most High Elohim will remember his covenant with us. And when we get this land, that he will prosper the land. He's already told me to take one parcel of 36 acres. Don't buy it with the others. Buy it apart from. That we might use it to make money. And so people will know about that parcel that is set apart, but they will not know about the other 170, 80 acres that are set apart from that. And as far as they know, the 36 will be all that we have. But you know, we're to use it like a campground. Invite other Hebrew brothers and sisters, you know, to keep the feast days there. Open it up to the public. You know, the feast days are to be blocked off for our use. But we can rent it out all the other time to the Gentile nations to help do the other things we need to do. So the enemy, they'll know about that, but they won't know about where the other land is. We'll be apart from it, like a good distance from it. So we'll talk about those things in another meeting. But, you know, the Most High is steadily modifying this. And, you know, before we're going final, he's actually finalizing the plans and telling me, don't buy all of it together. Buy one, separate it from the rest. And use that, commercialize that. And the rest of it will be our homestead, where we go and we live and we, you know, we have our own food and our housing and everything else. So that being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we have been a stiff-necked and a hard-headed people. And we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, I believe your word when you say that not to complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, but to accept the punishment and to turn from our wicked ways, and that you would return to us, that you would remember the covenant, and that you would give us favor. All the blessings that you say that come with our obedience, we believe you for even right now. And Father, we will be obedient to your word. We will treat the land just as you said that we should treat it. We shall plant years 1 through 3 and turn it under. Year 4, we will dedicate the harvest to you. Year 5, we will eat of our labor, Father. And for every 6 years, we will eat of our labor. And in the 7th year, we will give the land a Sabbath. And we shall have it within the bylaws that every 49, on the 50th year, the Jubilee, we will give the land a Sabbath. We won't reap from the land. We'll eat from year 49, and you will provide the increase that we eat in year 50 from our old. And then in year 51, we will still be eating from our old because we will not have planted in year 50. And we will plant in year 50 and eat from our old in year 50. And in year 51, we will eat from the new. You will bless us this way, O Father. We believe your word. We believe you. And that you will bless us to accomplish all that you have put within my vision, Father, to do. That you will bless us to do it. Because we will be obedient to your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, I think I want to talk about the land some more in the morning. So I pray that you are here in the morning for spiritual wellness, because this land is going to work toward our wellness as well. But just want to talk about it and discuss some things that the Most High has put on my heart. So I pray that you are here in the morning at 10 a.m. And may the Most High encompass angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Cause I'm just a man. You always there.
Always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall.